Beyond the Sermon, Episode 5.
All right, it's Beyond the Sermon, and it is Election Tuesday, 2016. And we've got a special episode for you today. We will be looking at a couple of things from Church Sunday on the message, and then we'll look at, of course, the big topic for the day, Election Tuesday. So, Michael Kennedy, lead pastor at North River Church, sitting here with fellow staff members, Scotty the Body Curlin. Woo! How are you, man?
Doing well, brother. Doing
well. Awesome. Good to see you. Scott's our worship and discipleship pastor. And we joked yesterday, Scott's been here, what, 6 weeks?
About 6 weeks, I think.
Six weeks, yeah. And then we got someone who's been here for just 7 days now.
Yeah, 7 days.
Yeah, Adam Reed, our family pastor. Woo-hoo. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Awesome. Great deal. So we're going to dive in. And let me say at the outset that we had no response from our Canadian listeners.
Yeah, man.
I was really surprised about that.
Where are you at, Canadians? Come on.
I know. I figured we would hear from them, and since we didn't, here's what I'm thinking may have happened. You ready?
Uh-oh.
I think we have some folks that are stealing internet in our church, listening to the podcast.
Got some proxy servers going to Canada.
That's it. Absolutely. They're redirecting, so... whoever you are, that's illegal, and you should feel...
We will find you.
Yeah, we will find you. So, anyway, so Canadian listeners, if you're out there, you certainly can let me know that you're there. Send me an email, michael@gonorthriver.org, and I'll send you a autographed copy.
Shameless plug!
Yeah, there
Working
we go.
My sound effect.
Of parent-driven discipleship. So, here we are in the Batcave at North River Church. Podcast heaven.
Podcast heaven.
Here we go. I hope you're having a good Election Tuesday, and thought I would read something Pastor Scott sent to me. Funny. Here's probably what you're seeing on your social media feed. This was amazing. So social media feed, if you're on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or are there any others?
Snapchat.
Still haven't got that figured out yet.
Yeah.
I'll bring you up to speed.
There we go. All right. Pastor Adam's going
to... The old man bringing you up to speed.
The old man. Hey, if you have missed the video of Pastor Adam receiving his company vehicle.
Yes.
Go on the North River Facebook page and check that out.
Or Instagram. Go to North River.
There we go. There it is.
They also welcomed me with a great desk.
That's right.
Yes, you need to check that out. So, but here's probably what your social media feed looks like. From 5:01 a.m. to 7 a.m., you probably got the reminders from Christians to not follow elephants or donkeys, but to vote for the lamb.
Spot on, man. I've already seen some this morning. Yeah.
So you got that from 7:01 a.m. to 8 a.m. You've got pictures of lines at the voting sites. And then from 8:01 a.m. to 9 a.m., pictures of I voted stickers.
Yes.
You've been seeing those.
Or the future voter stickers.
That's
seen
it.
A lot of those.
Absolutely. Then let's see here. 9:01 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. I've seen a few of these already. Post by people stating that they are leaving social media for the rest of the day, but they may end up liking your post at 11 a.m.
That's right.
And then sharing a video of a recipe that... was fixed at super fast speed at 2 p.m. So that's great.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah. 9:31 a.m. to 10 a.m. postings reminding readers that if you don't vote, you don't get to complain.
That's my favorite.
Those are awesome.
I love that one.
That's good. And then from 10:01 a.m. to 10:30 a.m., a gratitude challenge post where the poster is, quote unquote, thankful to live in a country where we are free to vote in a democracy.
I'm thankful.
That's right.
Yeah.
Freedom.
Absolutely.
That's very true. Did you post that already?
I have not.
Okay.
But it is.
We'll be looking for it. That's right. It is.
That's so good.
Oh, man. We're a minute late, man.
We gotta get that one going. So, we will maybe revert back to these a little bit later in the episode, but
we got those Joel Patrick Reynolds. I'm not familiar with him, but a friend Chad Poe shared that earlier.
Yeah.
So that's good stuff.
Good deal, man. That's a lot of fun, and I've already said, just don't post on Facebook today, or Twitter,
yeah.
Instagram.
Just stay away.
Yeah, don't be the jerk that everybody talks about.
That's right.
So.
I posted on social media.
You're the jerk that everybody talks about.
No, I'm kidding. Because it's my son's birthday.
That's so right.
Perfect.
Hey, that's so that was the big
that
birthday.
That was my birthday post.
There you go. That's legit. Awesome.
Other than that, I've stayed off of the political climate.
There you go.
When in doubt,
don't. Right. That's right. When in doubt, don't. That's when right. You think you need to, don't. How about that? Does that sound
just
good?
Don't.
Yeah,
just don't
do it. So
I saw a preacher friend of mine told his congregation on Facebook today, just don't play in the garbage. Just don't play in the garbage.
I love that, man. That's it. Oh, good stuff. So we're here again for Beyond the Sermon. This is episode number...
Five, I think.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Moving craziness. On up in the world, yeah. So we talked last week about hoping that we may get some sponsors.
Yeah.
And actually...
We got PJs. Come on, man.
I was going to say, we did get a sponsor and just wanted you to know. So right now, if you are in the room with us, we have pumpkin spice Oreo cookies.
Come on.
So, and then we also have some Stumptown cold brewed iced coffee
that
was provided to us by Powers Pet Sitting Service.
Yeah, come on.
So Christy Powers, shout out to you. Thanks for the cookies. Thanks for the coffee. And if you're listening in the Parrish, Bradenton, Sarasota area, and you need a pet sitter, Christy Powers, Pet Sitting.
That's right.
Check it out. Good deal. All right. So we talked about Romans chapter 13 Sunday morning. And wanted to go a little bit behind the beyond the sermon on that and check out some of what we said. And if you missed that, you can certainly log on to Podbean, to iTunes, to our Facebook page, to our website.
There's only like 18 ways to access it.
Yeah, absolutely. So no complaints. You should be able to get to it.
That's right.
That's going to be good. So you can go back and listen. Went a little longer than the week before.
A little bit.
Just a tad.
A little bit.
Yeah. So, but yeah, if you want to check that out, feel free to do that. Scott, I saw that you had posted a link to it.
I did.
Does that fall in the social media stuff we talked about? That was yesterday.
That's a great question.
It was yesterday.
I think if you throw some humor in there, then it's okay.
So you're legit if you do that. So
I was preparing people for those Thanksgiving conversations.
You know? Yeah, so that was one of the things we said. The two things that people say you never talk about around the dinner table, and you know, we're heading into the Thanksgiving season, and so we'll have certainly a lot of fun conversations after Election Tuesday. Then you never talk about faith, you never talk about politics.
That's right.
Those are the two things. And so I figured, might as well tackle both of them.
That's right. Two wrongs make a right.
Absolutely.
Right.
So we'll move in that direction. So we did. We talked about Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7 Sunday morning. And we focused in on what is the role of government, what is the role of Christians under the authority of government. And so here are the three things, and you can actually kind of roll them all together in one sentence. So here's the thing. Every authority in our life was placed there by God for our good, and we should honor them. So that's where we went. So let's dive into that first one there. Every authority in our life was placed there by God. So I made a point of saying that every single person who's in authority over us, whether it's from our parents up to our boss that we probably don't like a whole lot, all the way up to those who are in political authority. Hey, don't point at me.
we love our boss.
Yes, absolutely. So
that's awesome.
That's dirty, man. That's dirty. So when I said that, they both looked at me and started pointing. So we'll have some staff reprimand later.
That's right.
Going on. But every authority has been placed there by God. And so we need to recognize that, receive that, and know that that's just the reality that we find ourselves in. So the question that comes as a result of that is, did God actually put them there, or did we, in a sense, by our own free will and choices, put them there? So specifically talking about politicians and those things. So we live, made it a point to give a little civics lesson Sunday morning. We live not in a democracy, but we live in a democratic republic where we have the privilege of voting for those who will represent us in government. And so... So I think you could look. I think it's two sides of the same coin. I don't think you can make that distinction of saying, well, either God put them there or we put them there. I think God's sovereign plan and purposes unfold even as we exercise our abilities to vote and those types of things. So I would say it's a both and that. So, but it's interesting as you read through the scriptures, as you look throughout history, that ultimately God has a plan that is unfolding. Mm-hmm. And regardless of who is in political office, regardless who is the king, regardless who's the president or whatever it may be, God's plan continues to unfold even under bad rulers. And it's our responsibility as believers to recognize that the authority in our lives has been placed there by God. Not only that, but they've been placed there by God for our good. And so the role of government, we emphasize this from a biblical perspective. Those who are in authority have a chief responsibility, and that is to reward the good and to punish the evil. That's the main responsibility that government has. And we emphasize that that as we look to vote as believers, that we should be looking for people who do that, who reward the good and punish the evil. That's one of the responsibilities that that government has in that. So every authority has been placed there by God. Every authority has been placed there by God for our good. So, Adam?
Very good.
I like it.
This is the first time I've heard this. So,
That's right.
Yeah, Pastor Adam was back with the kids. It was his very first Sunday, and so he was in the back with the kids. And I mean, you know, a good staff member would have listened to the sermon before coming in. Scott?
You know, I just assumed his folks took notes for him since they were here.
And handed them to him.
Yeah. I mean, that's not your fault, you know?
It's not my fault, that's right.
That's it. We'll let him slide on that. So, were they sleeping during the sermon?
No, they
were. Okay, I was just checking.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Every authority is placed there by God for our good, and we have a responsibility to honor them, to respect them. And Paul says here even to submit to them, which always brings up the difficult question. Is there ever a point where we don't submit to those who are in authority over us? Mm-hmm. And I emphasized Acts chapter 5 where the apostles early on in the life of the church were preaching the gospel in Jerusalem, and they were called in before the authorities of the day and were told to no longer preach in the name of Jesus, and their response was, we must obey God rather than man. And so I emphasize to our church family that in the event that those in authority over us ask us to do something contrary to God's word, that would be illegal, that would be unethical, that would be immoral, we have a responsibility to say there is a higher authority over you, and that is God, and I have a responsibility to submit to Him if you're asking me to do something that's contrary to what His Word calls us to do. So, for instance, throw yourself in the position of those who were in the military, possibly in Germany when Hitler was ruling there. When Hitler says, we're going to kill the Jews, they, if they were believers, should have stood up and said, no, I must obey God rather than man. You say, well, what about paying taxes? Well, Paul addresses that even in verse 7 here, and he says that we're to pay taxes to those whom taxes are owed to. And you say, well, I don't like what our tax money is being used for. Don't forget the fact that Jesus paid the taxes that he was responsible for paying when he was alive, those same taxes being used to crucify him. Mm-hmm. And Paul is writing to this church in Rome, and he's writing in a hostile context of persecution against the church. And so you have to look and recognize that we really, in the United States of America, have it pretty good comparatively to many of our brothers and sisters who are Christians around the world. And we have a ton of freedoms that we get to enjoy. And our primary responsibility is to submit to the government, to participate, to be involved, to vote as we have the opportunity, as we do today. But to ultimately submit to honor, to pray for those who are in authority over us in that role. So had some good questions after the service on Sunday, and I thought I would try to address a few of those, get you guys to talk through some of those as well. One of the questions that that came up was, so when do we stand up? They brought up Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was in Germany as Hitler was coming to power and ruling there. And they said, you know, Bonhoeffer was part of an assassination attempt against Hitler. So are we? Can we do that? Right. You know, and kind of scares you when church members ask you that kind of thing. You know, you're like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
What are you thinking about?
Be really careful with your answer.
That's it. Yeah. So
I'm not going to be held accountable.
That's right.
That's it.
Don't
absolutely.
Put anything in writing. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
So, but it's interesting. And Eric Metaxas wrote an incredible biography on Bonhoeffer. But if you want to read a little bit more, it's pretty thick. Could be a good doorstop. It's that thick. And,
nice.
But a phenomenal book and really goes at the heart of Bonhoeffer's desire to serve the Lord and also to impact the culture in which he was in. And if you read through his life, you realize that that Bonhoeffer did everything possible within legal means that was provided by the culture to try to stop Hitler. And so what you recognize is that he tried to use those means, and his last chance, last possibility was to try to assassinate Hitler as part of a plot. And even going through that, he expressed a lot of doubt of whether or not this was okay to be involved in that, and ultimately came to the conclusion that his conscience before the Lord was clear, that he had to act, and this was the only means left for him to act, but very quickly said, I very well could be wrong, and if I am, God forgive me. Mm. And so I said, we're certainly not at that point in our nation at this point in time. We could eventually get to that. I think we have a lot of things that would have to transpire before that happens. But we have to, as believers, stand for biblical truth and use the means that are provided, whether that's through the court system, whether that's through existing laws, whether that's through exercising our right to vote and those types of things. We have to use what's given to us within the political framework in which we find ourselves to stand for biblical truth. And we've got to make sure that that we're doing that. I think for far too long, Christians have backed off the sphere of politics and have not been as actively involved. So that was one of the questions, you know. Can we rise up and assassinate someone, you know? I was like, man, that's a tough one.
An intense question.
Yeah, it was. So,
quite intense.
I won't drop any names who mentioned that. So, but I also had another one that was interesting as well. Someone said, well, based on what you said and what the Scripture says of our responsibility to submit to and honor those in authority, not to rebel and those types of things, should we still be speaking in a British accent? And by that, he simply meant, right. What was it biblical for, was there a biblical defense for the colonies here in the United States of America to become independent from the British government? And so so that was a good, I thought a good question, a good topic to consider. And I think you have people who land on different sides of the coin. I think an argument can be made very easily that there was religious oppression going on from the church in England. You know, there were certain churches that were allowed to function in the new colonies. There were many that weren't. In fact, we have pastors being thrown in prison and some of those things early on in our nation's history. And so that was one of the things that when the new government was formed, a pastor in Virginia reached out to Thomas Jefferson and wrote him a letter about being certain that religious freedom and religious liberty was provided within the new constitution that we would have. And so, good question, and I think you could chase that around a long way and, you know, try to come up with some answers. So it's always tough, too. You know, you're proud to be an American, so to think that maybe what was done wasn't done above board biblically, you know, you're right. Like, ah, really? So, but anyway, so anything stuck out to you, Scott, since you were there
taking notes? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, man, I can't rely on Adam to bail me out
that's
here.
Right.
No, you know, I loved one thing you said up front was if anyone had reason to write about overthrowing the government or even just complaining in general, it's Paul, you know. And yet Paul writes and tells us to submit, you know. And of course, you know, saying that there's no authority except God. And so I think that's a great reminder, you know, no matter what happens later today, that we know in advance how we are to respond and how we're to go about. Nothing changes based on the election results that will come in hopefully later this evening, or, you know, we'll see.
Or tomorrow. Yeah, you never know.
But nothing changes, you know, no matter who's in office. We know what we're, you know, called to do. So it's a great reminder.
Absolutely. You know, I emphasized the way in which we as believers talk about political candidates, those who are in positions of authority. Adam, I wanted to get your thoughts on this. It impacts the next generation. And so if we're divisive as believers in our rhetoric towards those who we may not agree with politically, if the scripture commands us to honor and to respect those in authority over us, Paul would say elsewhere to pray for the king, or pray for the Caesar, the ruler. If our kids and our grandkids watch the way in which and listen to the way in which we talk about political candidates, to the way we talk about people who disagree with us politically, if we're not careful, they'll grow up with hate in their hearts towards those people, those candidates, that political party, or whatever it may be. And so I want to just hear from you on that. How do we engage with our kids through this process while emphasizing what we believe as Christians and standing on those truths, but also how we respect others and do what God's called us to do in loving our neighbor.
Right. Yeah, I think, you know, the biggest thing for us as parents or grandparents is just helping our kids to understand that our faith does not lie in a political party or anything like that. It's a freedom that we have to be able to vote, but our faith ultimately lies in Jesus. Mm-hmm. And, you know, helping the kids to understand the political process is something that we do in our own home, helping the kids understand, like, this is our freedom. This is, you know, you make decisions based on our beliefs according to the scriptures that God has given to us. And we do the best job that we can, realizing that at the same time, we're human and we're fallen. And, you know, we're going to make bad judgments at times and make poor choices, but hopefully the goal is that we help our kids think through a biblical perspective on just their lives, and not fully relying on government to provide for us or take care of us in any specific way, and you know, just having that faith in that God will see us through and will provide for us.
Yeah, that's good. I think it's interesting to think through. I just imagine it this way with our kids, our two little girls. If the way in which we talk about our boss at work or a particular person who's in authority, what if our kids in turn mirrored that towards us, you know? Because we're the authority that God's placed in their life. And what if they treated us in authority as we treat those in authority over us.
Right.
I think it's helpful for us to think through that. And like it or not, our kids are paying attention. They're listening to the way we talk. They're watching the way we respond. And we've got to make sure that that we're diligent about remaining faithful to what God's called us to do as, right. as believers in that response.
And too, our ultimate goal is, I think, parents, and this is my, you know, my desire for my own kids. I don't want my kids to be good kids. I want them to be godly kids. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's, you know, my responsibility to them to as their parent to be able to instill the values that, that we find in the scriptures, the Christian leadership that God has given to us, and just helping them to follow after Christ and pursue Him. And, you know, we realize, you know, even as a believer, when you come to a relationship with Jesus to begin with, we don't have to be perfect. We don't have to have it all or act all together. We don't have to be, quote, good or anything else. Mm-hmm. He just wants us to come to Him broken as we are. Mm. And He's the one that cleans us up and makes us more like Him.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, that's the goal that we have to help ourselves understand as parents is, you know, you can be a good kid, but you can be lost as can be.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to see students and we want to see kids love Jesus and want to live for Him.
Mm. Absolutely. That's great. Man, we can pass offering plate now.
I know, right?
Preach a sermon.
Right.
There we go, baby. That's awesome.
Sing
that's
just
good
as
stuff.
I am, and man, get it done.
Well, you know, I was thinking as you were talking about the some of the points that you brought up in your message this past Sunday. In the kids area, actually, we were looking at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and the whole idea of, you know, the king had set up this statue and that everybody was supposed to worship, and they were saying, no, we weren't, this is not right for us. The only person that we can worship is the true God. And you know, even to the point of they knew they were going to be thrown into the fire, but they were just like, hey, look, you know, it says in Daniel 3 18, it says Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are saying, but even if God does not save us, we want you to know, Your Majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. And just the boldness that they had of not rejecting the king, but just the boldness that they had to stand for the true king, the God, their creator. Yeah. And that's, you know, the ultimate thing that we have to do as believers as well.
Absolutely, yeah. We've in our series, as we were walking through 1 Thessalonians, we emphasized that, and even through 1 Peter earlier in the year, emphasized that reality that as believers, our citizenship is not here.
Right.
Our citizenship is in heaven, and we have to operate in that mentality with that mindset. So, man, that's great to hear that. And so if you're listening to the podcast, I want to encourage you to make it a point that you take an opportunity to encourage your kids in their walk with the Lord. Find out where they are. If they're not believers, pray for them. Share the gospel with them. Encourage them. And if they are believers, help them grow in their faith, their walk with the Lord, even as hopefully you're growing in yours as well. So a couple of current events, some things that are going on this week. Friday, we've got Veterans Day. And so to all the veterans out there, thank you for your service. We talk about the freedoms that we get to enjoy, and many of that, those freedoms are due to men and women who laid their lives down to provide those for us. And so we thank you for that. We'll celebrate our Veterans Sunday as well during the time in our service. So, certainly today's Election Tuesday. So tonight, many of you will be huddled around your television set and trying to figure out and prognosticate that's what's right. going to happen. Right. Right?
Watch states in different colors.
Yeah, watch them. That's it. So, so here's what I thought I would do, and don't want to go too long on this, but kind of give the latest update of where we are on that. So, Scott,
at almost 11 a.m.
So we're getting there. Polls close at least on the East Coast. I think at 7 p.m. Mm. And so results will start coming in then, and they'll be calling states. So you ready? You ready to figure out what either candidate has to do?
Let's do this.
You sure?
All right. Scott has great predictions.
like zero predictions.
I was going to say, you know, what's funny is...
he's going to predict each state.
That's right.
I like it. There you go,
awesome.
Man.
So, you know,
this is the one time of year when all the political prognosticators can be wrong, mm-hmm. kind of like weather people.
That's right.
Yeah. Right?
That's right.
You can be wrong and you still have a job the next day,
yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
I would prefer, like, back at... during the old times in the Bible, when the prophets, if you didn't get it right, you were gone.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? So therefore, Karl Rove last election season, he wouldn't have had a chance after that. So he'd have lost big time.
Someone this morning said, I'm still predicting a landslide victory, but I don't know which one it's going to be. that was
funny.
Their prediction. Landslide victory.
Somebody's going to win.
Somebody will win. So here's the deal. Each candidate's trying to get to 270 electoral votes, and at this point in the game, the closest prediction is that Hillary Clinton is most likely going to win, and we'll certainly find that out. The Trump campaign is pushing very hard that there's a lot of sleeper Trump. guys and gals out there that are going to be voting for him. And so it's really going to come down to four states and one area of Maine. So it's kind of where we are at this point. So we come down to our very own state, Florida, which Scott and I, we had the privilege of voting in the great state of Florida.
Oh, man. That's why moving here right in time for the election.
Yeah,
right?
that was very strategic, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Adam, you guys voted in Georgia before you left.
We did early voting before we left because we knew that we wouldn't be able to register in Florida before the election. So
good
we
deal.
Went ahead and did the
Adam and Wendy were
voting.
Very wise to vote in Georgia.
That's it. So,
but if anybody can get us in, we'll vote again.
That's right. That's right.
No, just kidding.
Right in Mickey Mouse. Right.
That's good. So here's the state. So we have... the state of Florida, which is at the moment leaning in the Democratic camp. So Trump would have to take Florida, take North Carolina, which is also leaning Democrat at this point, the state of Nevada, the state of New Hampshire, and also the second district in Maine. Hmm. So if Trump can switch all of those and take all of those, or possibly Pennsylvania is another one that he's campaigning hard in. Also Colorado and Michigan. So we'll see what happens. But whoever gets to 270 will be the winner. So if neither candidate gets 270, which is, I guess, possible, probably not likely, but possible, then it would go to the House of Representatives to choose who the next president would be. So that's where we are, man.
You know, where we started earlier, Joel Patrick Reynolds.
Yeah.
Did you see the very last, timeline entry of the day?
I did not, no.
So 11:01 p.m. until midnight tonight. The country is divided into 13 districts and a capital is established. The leadership at the capital create a new law where a boy and girl from each district are reaped each year and placed into a deadly contest of survival known as the Hunger Games.
I like it.
Go. That's pretty good.
Hey, that's how it's going to end. So that'll be good.
Oh, man.
Here's the thing. I think a lot of... I think Christians have a couple of responses to... to this, and I think a couple of things to consider. One is if Hillary Clinton's elected president, how does the church respond? If Donald Trump is elected president, how does the church respond in that sense? So let me look at it from a 30,000 foot view. the mission that God's called the church and believers to doesn't change regardless of who's elected president.
That's right.
We still have the Great Commission Jesus left with us to make disciples of all nations, and so we have to be certain that that's what we're doing. Our mission hasn't changed, but the environment in which we conduct that mission, in which we pursue that, may very well change depending on who is elected in office. Certainly, it's been pretty evident through some of the decisions and things like that that have been made that religious liberty is probably going to be an issue that the church is going to increasingly have to face, watching it erode away somewhat if Hillary Clinton's elected, certainly through various laws and things like that. Certainly, we'll continue to face the issue of abortion, even the potential of partial birth abortion, which she's a proponent of. So I think you know, for us as a church, we recognize that that our mission doesn't change, but the place in which we conduct that mission may very well change. And very much with Donald Trump, it's who knows kind of situation for the church. I mean,
yeah.
Rhetoric and political campaigns is one thing. How they govern in office is completely different. And so we'll have to see if he does indeed end up being elected, what that looks like for the church. I don't believe that that we're skating scot-free. Life's going to be great if he's elected. I don't think that that's something. I think there are some Christians who think that. They think Hillary's evil, Trump's good, Trump gets elected, then we don't have to worry about anything. I don't think that's the case. The culture in which we live hasn't changed, though the person leading it may be different. But we still live in a pretty divided culture in terms of where people land on certain social issues. And we as a church have to speak into those, that culture in a biblical way, but also in a loving way as well. So, anything else coming up on a national scene, Scott? Anything you know of?
National scene, man.
Yeah.
I mean, Tailgate Sunday is going to be huge. But
that's it. Yeah, absolutely. So the Cubbies won. They were playing
Cubbies
last
won.
Week, right?
Cubbies
we weren't.
Won. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So
well, were, yeah. I think. Gosh, what night? Was it Wednesday night? Was that game seven? Was that Wednesday night?
Yeah, I think it was Wednesday.
It was.
That was,
yeah.
Man.
So so we joked. I posted a picture on the Facebook page that said all of you Cubs fans that
yes.
were making promises to God in the middle
that's
of the
right.
night, you know, in those extra innings. Church starts at 9:30.
There you go.
You know,
that's
so
right.
Come fulfill your commitment.
Too
funny. So,
that was
good.
You know, Back to the Future missed that prediction by 1 year. Parks and Recreation actually got it right. They actually predicted it. And then somebody in like 1993 wrote in their yearbook, Cubbies win 2016.
Really?
No
wow.
lie. Isn't that amazing? Some
wow.
of these predictions are pretty
that
cool.
Is.
So.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
yeah. We may need to get those people to step into the political hot seat. Tonight,
yeah, there you go.
Right. Maybe they'll have a better grasp.
That's
so.
Right.
Yeah, so for our church family specifically, this coming Sunday is Tailgate Sunday, which should be just an incredible time. We'll have food and fellowship. We'll have baptism.
Come see Pastor Michael on the mechanical bull. What'd you say?
Yes, yes. So there will be a mechanical bull. And
you have your spurs ready?
I'm ready to go,
yeah,
man. Yeah,
so right,
cowboy hat. I'm on it. So
that's too good.
8 seconds, baby. Got to stay
seconds.
On 8 seconds. So so we'll have a mechanical great. Bull out. We'll have a climbing wall. And I don't know if it'll be Trump size climbing
it's
wall.
It's going to be
huge. Boom, boom,
boom.
Yeah. So I think Mexico paid for this
that's
one.
Right, that's
I'm
right.
Hoping. I'm hoping they did.
Oh,
so,
my goodness.
So we'll have that. We'll have Jumping Castle and a lot of fun things for the family. So I want to encourage you to come. We'll have what I call supplemental burgers and hot dogs.
There you go.
So don't come thinking you're just going to eat. You need to bring food just like a regular tailgate.
I can't just come and like mooch off everybody else?
You could. I probably will. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
And,
we'll split around to the different tailgates.
That's
there
right.
There you
go. What do y'all got over here?
That's
over
right.
Here,
so,
just sampling.
Yeah, just want a little pastoral care action you know, right, going right. on in that. So that'll be good. So yeah, tailgate Sunday. And we're excited about that this week. And then not this Wednesday night, but the next Wednesday night will be a family event as well.
Christmas. It's going to be great, man.
OCC.
OCC.
There
yeah,
we go.
You know
so
me.
We'll be packing shoe boxes and be a lot of fun eating pizza with the family and that kind of stuff. So listen, that's all I got. We're closing out our series through 1 Thessalonians this Sunday. And so we'll be finishing up chapter 5 then. Scott, what you got on for music?
Yeah, I'm excited, man. I know
you don't know what you're doing again.
I do.
Scott,
I've got every song. Hey, man, I was on fire yesterday.
You were ready to go.
No, yeah, we're doing some great songs. Here For You, one of my favorite Matt Redman songs. And then very intentional selection, Build Your Kingdom Here. You know, after election week, just a reminder that, hey, we're about the gospel first and foremost. And then one of my favorite songs that it's been around for a while now, but Forever Rain.
Yeah,
I think that is very much you know. I mean, everybody loves the song, but if you really dive into those lyrics, it is a phenomenally written song.
Yeah.
And so really excited about that. And then some Crowder to make Megan upset. So it's gonna be
a great
Sunday.
Yeah, that's good, man. So No Shave November.
Right.
So Scott, you're
I'm no shave 365.
I was gonna say, yeah, you're no shave all months. So Adam, you working it?
No,
not so much.
Wendy won't let you, huh?
Well, look at that mustache. Right?
I've done the mustache.
Nice. Yes.
Yeah, if you hang around me long enough, the facial hair will just gradually change. And if anybody really is curious what I look like with a beard, you can go back into my Facebook.
Let's check.
I a few years ago had signed up for a big race, and that was in, I think it was May, and the race wasn't until January, and I said I will not shave until I complete this race, and so I had a very big, long,
very Forrest Gump
beard.
Of
you. Yeah, a beard going on.
Yeah,
and it actually was very cold at that race, and I had ice, and so I had a very good ice beard going on.
Sweet.
So you can go on Facebook and check that out.
We'll check that out.
This Joker
good.
Here has run two double marathons.
Yeah, two.
That
50,
is
50
unbelievable.
Mile runs,
so. Yeah,
I don't. I mean, I can't even imagine.
Yeah,
I
how many 50Ks?
I think I've run, I guess, 4 50Ks.
Unreal.
Yeah,
I did the Dopey Challenge a few years ago.
Oh, that's right.
Disney, so.
Which is like 4 different events, right?
Yeah, it's a 5K on Thursday, 10K on Friday, half marathon Saturday, and then Sunday did the full.
Golly.
So my dad and I actually did that one together.
That's amazing.
That's amazing. Yeah. Wow. So, Scott, the only running you do is to the fridge.
Absolutely. Man, you are not lying.
That's it.
If I run a mile, I mean, I just feel like I've conquered the world.
Absolutely.
That's a huge accomplishment for me.
So maybe we'll plan on a staff 5K coming up
goodness.
At some point in the near future.
Can I walk some? Is that okay?
No.
Yeah.
Couch to 5K, man.
Couch to 5K.
Get on
that's
it.
Right.
Get on it. So that'll be good. I've got a little bit of a beard going on,
I
may keep going.
What's your doppelganger? Remind me. I said Brett Favre, and somebody else said the fighting guy.
Yeah, MMA guy.
MMA guy.
I can't think of his name now.
But when I saw the picture, he really
Chuck
does.
Liddell. Chuck Liddell.
He really
does. So
people actually asked him before if he.
Yeah,
was
I've had folks. I was a little fitter back then
that's
when
right.
they asked me though. So
great,
we'll work on that. But yeah, so we'll see. I'm at the point now where it's itchy.
Yeah.
And I struggle to break through that,
right.
so they tell me a couple more weeks and I should be
nice.
Should be good. But then once it's grown out, I don't want to shave.
Absolutely.
After that, you know? So
yeah.
We may let's bring the beard back.
Bring the beard back.
Make beards great
again.
That's it. That'd be good. All right. Well, we're pushing a little long, according to Megan Curlin.
That's
so
right.
we're,
she won't listen anyway. So we're in good shape.
So we're gonna pull it down. So. to our 5.5 listeners, thank you for
staying with us. Yeah, I guess with three of us, it's going to go longer.
So. It may go a tad bit longer, yeah.
It's all Adam, man.
It's my fault. They're not going to invite me back next week. So.
That's it. You know those Family Guys. They get super spiritual, and, you know, we try to walk
too
away.
Funny,
so.
Man.
So we'll catch you next week on another episode of Beyond the Sermon. So vote if you're listening to this, and it's Tuesday, and the polls haven't closed yet. And if you are listening after Tuesday, your results are most likely in. And I made this comment as we'll close out today. Let us be not a political people, but a gospel people. Mm-hmm. And let us be known for our commitment to the spread of Christ's name. And if we do that, we'll be doing what God's called us to do.
Absolutely.
So, all right, guys. Appreciate you.
Over and out.
Have a good week. Later.